Zinchao. Say that right? Okay. First, before we begin, I wanted to say thank you for allowing me to be here, for allowing me to share God's word with you. Growing up in the church, I always knew that it was a very treasured thing when a pastor would give up his pulpit. And for Pastor Wee to give up his pulpit this morning, I'm honored and I'm very grateful. Yes, sir. So this morning, before I begin, I would like for you to watch a video. It's a little long. It's about 4 minutes long, but please be patient. I think you'll be rewarded at the end of the video. Okay, so. I think the good news is that we could stop right now after watching that video. We could go into our prayer closet, and I think God could truly impact what we just saw. The bad news is that I have more to say. So this morning, if you look in your bulletins, and if you like, I know some of them, the English-speaking congregation, they like to take notes. So if you look in your bulletins, and if you don't have one, there's some in the back, we can get you some. But the outline for the sermon is right here in your bulletin, okay? Today's talk is very simple, but very powerful. So can you put the scripture back up for me, Anne? Thank you. So when we look at this version of the scripture in verse 1, you'll see lay aside every weight and the sin. So he's not just saying sin. It's not the only thing we need to worry about. It's not the only thing we need to keep our eyes out for.
So we'll be going.
Go ahead.
Trong Hebrew đoạn 12 câu 1 đến câu 3, trong câu 1 có nói về cái chữ tội lỗi.
I grew up as an athlete.
Khi lớn lên tôi là một lực sĩ.
I was a swimmer.
Tôi bơi lội.
And a bicyclist.
Và tôi đạp xe đua.
And I played rugby in college.
Và tôi chơi môn rugby ở trên đại học.
All of those sports required endurance.
Tất cả những cái môn thể thao này đòi hỏi sự kiên trì của sức khỏe.
Like my bicycle races were usually or often 100 miles long.
Còn khi đua xe đạp thì tôi đua từ 100 dặm.
And my swimming was 500 yards, so it was the longest event we had. It was very long swimming.
Còn bơi lội thì gần 500 mét.
And one of the things that I had to learn was never quit.
Mà một điều tôi học được trong những
even if my coach, this happened at one of my bicycle races, even if my coach has to come alongside me, help me carry my bike across the finish line.
Ngay cả lúc mà đua xe đạp tôi không còn đủ sức nữa, nhưng mà ông huấn luyện viên tôi đến bên cạnh và giúp tôi đẩy cái xe qua khỏi cái đích tới, nhưng mà tôi vẫn không bỏ cuộc.
For even in this video, when his father touched him, it disqualified him from the race.
So khi quý vị coi cái video này thấy người cha đến đụng vào người con, thì theo luật của cái cuộc đua đó là người con bị loại ra.
So man's law says quit. You're disqualified. You need to stop.
So đối với con người thì nói là bỏ cuộc đi, nghỉ đi, thua rồi.
Even his father told him, when he grabbed him, he said, "It's okay, you don't have to do this." Even his father was telling him, "It's okay, just quit." And Derek Redmond, in his soul, he knew, "I have to finish." It was no longer about winning the race. It was about finishing.
Nhưng mà vấn đề là làm tới cùng.
That's how the enemy will attack you. He wants you to quit.
Kẻ thù của chúng ta luôn muốn chúng ta phải bỏ cuộc.
He uses guilt.
Dùng sự,
he uses shame.
Sự sỉ nhục.
He uses whatever he can to get you to stop running.
Và làm đủ mọi cách để làm cho chúng ta bỏ cuộc.
Because we as warriors, when we stop running, we stop engaging the enemy.
Vì nếu chúng ta là những chiến sĩ thuộc linh, chúng ta chấm dứt không bỏ cuộc thì chúng ta không có thể nào mà chiến đấu được với kẻ thù.
And in battle, if you stop fighting, you lose.
So trong trận chiến nếu chúng ta bỏ cuộc thì chúng ta sẽ thua.
So if you look in your bulletin on point number one, it says, "Throw off every encumbrance and sin." So for you, this is what you would put in the blank. What are your encumbrances? What are some sins in your life that you need to write down that you can pray through and get and confess to the Father and repent of those encumbrances or sins?
So các bạn ghi xuống những điều mà các bạn nghĩ là giúp cho quý vị làm cho quý vị bị cản trở để không có tiếp tục cuộc chạy đua.
So I told you I was an athlete. During training, as a swimmer, I would even put weights on my waist. I would strap weights on my waist.
Trong thời gian tập luyện khi tôi bơi, tôi cũng mang những cái cân nặng ở trong chân để mà bơi.
I would wear heavy clothes in the pool. I would put on cotton sweatsuits so they absorbed lots of water, and it would be very difficult for me to swim.
Và tôi mặc áo quần mà bằng cô tông để cho nó thấm nước nhiều và nặng để giúp cho tôi bơi khó khăn hơn.
When I was a bicyclist, I would do very similar things.
Và khi đạp xe đua, xe đạp cũng vậy, tôi cũng làm những điều như vậy.
I would lower the air pressure on my tire.
It's
harder to pedal. I would wear heavy clothes. I would wear clothes that would get the wind, that would gather wind, so it was harder for me to pedal.
So mặc những áo quần mà có thể cản cho gió rất là nhiều để giúp cho tôi đạp càng khó thêm.
But that was for training.
Vì đó là những cái tập luyện.
When it came to racing, I got as light as I could.
Tôi mặc đồ rất là nhẹ nhàng.
You know, you wear those small competitive swimsuits. I would shave the hair off of my body. I would shave my head. There wouldn't be anything that would encumber me from my race.
Nhưng mà khi bơi á, tôi cạo hết tất cả lông trên tóc trên người tôi và mặc đồ tắm thật là nhỏ để tôi bơi rất là nhanh.
No, we didn't laugh. We were very serious. However, it did two things for me. When it was time to race, it gave me confidence and boldness. I knew I was ready. It also intimidated my opponent. Because he looked over at me and saw that I was very serious about beating him. And normally, I would. And isn't that oftentimes, taking the silliness aside, I want to intimidate the enemy. I want him to be afraid of me. But listen closely. The only way that I'm going to intimidate my enemy is if he doesn't see me, he sees him.
So, cho nên nếu mà đối diện với đối phương, tôi muốn cho đối phương sợ tôi thì tôi muốn đối phương thấy Chúa chứ không thấy tôi.
So as I crucify myself, I die to myself,
tôi tự đóng đinh, tôi tự chết,
and I allow him to live through me,
và tôi để cho Chúa sống trong tôi,
I throw off my encumbrances.
Và tôi bỏ hết tất cả những điều gì cản trở tôi.
I run.
Và tôi sẽ chạy.
Hard. And long. Notice in this passage, he's never talking about how fast we run. Just that we run. That we finish. Oftentimes, as an educator, I hear or I say things to my students, especially in my higher level, like philosophy classes or history classes. Like, you're oftentimes what would come out of my mouth is, you're asking the wrong question. If you ask the wrong question, you never find the right answer. So the wrong question here is this wrong? Is this right? Is this a sin? Is this not a sin? Those are wrong questions to ask. Now stay with me. Those are wrong questions, because what you should be asking yourself, what you need to ask yourself, is, does this help me run? Some of the sin questions, those are easy for us to answer. You never have to pray about adultery. You never have to pray about honesty or the lying. You never have to pray about those things, because God made it very clear. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Go ahead. Sorry. See, those are easy for me. I know those need to. I know I need to get rid of those. But how about thou shalt run every day? It's not in the Bible, is it? You know what else? Thou shalt read the Bible every day. It's good luck. It's not in there. I often call those Acts 29 issues. Go ahead. Try to look it up. There's no Acts 29. It stops at 28. There are so many times in our lives we have things that aren't in the Bible. So those are things in your life that you have to decide as an individual. Are they an encumbrance to me? In all honesty, donuts are an encumbrance to me. I won't stop. I know they're not good for me. They weigh me down. I have 5 children. I desire to have my great-grandchildren sit on my knee and listen to me tell them of all that Jesus did for me. But that will not happen if I don't run this race well. So some of it is physical. Some of it is emotional. And some of it is spiritual. Yeah, that. Very good. Thank you. Those three things, I think we need to focus on all three. And as we pray through our lives, and as we pray through those three areas of our lives, we ask the Lord to show us what's an encumbrance and what's not. Now, I need to move on, but I also, there is so much to be said about this area in our lives. Please take the time to, after our service, I hope this doesn't mess anybody. Like, when I'm finished preaching, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the altar and just confess to the Lord. We don't need to hear it. He does. Confess to the Lord anything through our sermon, through our teaching, that He revealed to you that you need to get rid of. We're going to pray through that up here. Just a few minutes. Okay? So our next point. I got to move on. How are we to run then? How are we to run this race?
So, điều thứ hai là chúng ta hỏi là bằng cách nào chúng ta chạy trong cuộc đua này?
This is easy. You run this race of life the way Jesus ran his race.
Này rất là dễ, tại vì mình sẽ chạy theo cách mà Chúa Giêsu đã chạy.
Reflect back on what Jesus must have been thinking in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember this story? Go ahead. He's in the garden, he's praying, and he knows he's about to die. I think oftentimes, well, this is my opinion. I think through the agony, I think Jesus were thinking these things. This is going to be a lot of work. This is going to be a big loss. This agony will last through the night, through the day. As a matter of fact, Jesus, I will never sleep again until I die. He knew the scourging, the beating that he was about to endure. The betrayal that he was about to experience from his friends. The death, the painful agony that he was about to go through to die on the cross. He even said we know in the scripture that he prayed, if there's any way, Father, for me not to have to go through this, please, please let this not happen. But he did go through and finish well, didn't he? Yes? Yes, he did. That's when you're allowed to say amen. Because that's a big deal. Because the only reason you're here today is because he was willing to do that. He was willing to walk through that. He was willing to persevere, endure, and say, you know what? You're worth it. You're worth it. So how did he do that? I would say he did that. Hold on. Go ahead. Sorry. I get excited. He kept his eye on the prize. That's what goes in point number two. He kept his eye on the prize. He kept his eye on the finish line. What did he say? What was the last words out of his mouth? What were they? That's right. It is finished. He finished. If my Lord and Savior can finish, can endure that, surely we can finish. Surely we can endure. What are we doing? What is so much agony that we would have to quit? I know pain. I know pain. I know agony. I know loss. I know betrayal. The only way I'm going to finish this race is to keep my eyes on the prize. And for Jesus, the prize was us. And for us, the prize is Him.
Còn đối với chúng ta, phần thưởng của chúng ta là Chúa.
For I guarantee, we talk about this in our English service a lot. Life is painful.
Tôi nói với nhiều thanh niên trong giờ giảng tiếng Anh là cuộc sống rất là đau đớn, rất nhiều đau đớn.
It's full of suffering.
Và nhiều sự đau khổ trong đó.
Pain.
Đau.
It's also full of joy, isn't it?
Nhưng mà có rất là nhiều niềm vui trong đó nữa.
I'll never forget the joy that I experienced. When I was younger, I was 17, I broke my neck.
Khi tôi 17 tuổi, tôi nhớ có một điều mà làm cho tôi nhớ lại cái niềm vui nhất là lúc đó, tôi bị gãy cái cổ.
And as an athlete, that was devastating.
Thì đó rất là đau đớn cho tôi, thứ nhất là đối với một người lực sĩ như tôi.
So I remember walking out of the hospital.
Tôi nhớ là khi đi ra khỏi nhà thương.
And so excited to be able to walk.
Rất là vui mừng tại vì biết là mình vẫn còn đi được.
Much less run.
Chứ chưa nói đến vấn đề chạy.
No matter what happens, no matter how hard it is, God will give you the strength to endure.
Cho nên bất cứ điều gì xảy ra chúng ta, bất cứ điều gì, Chúa vẫn cho chúng ta sức để chúng ta sẽ kiên trì mà chạy đua.
So if the first point was identifying the things that encumber you, that weigh you down. The second point is keep your eyes on the prize. So let's look at point number three. Life is full of pain and struggle. But it is also full of joy.
Nhưng mà cũng rất là nhiều điều vui mừng trong cuộc sống.
So what I would encourage you to do for this, identify the sources of joy that God gives you right now.
Tìm thử coi nguồn gốc của những niềm vui trong cuộc sống các bạn mà từ nơi Chúa là ở đâu.
I'm sure it is the same for me.
Tôi nghĩ là chắc cũng giống như tôi thôi.
As it is for you. It's easy.
Dễ thấy lắm.
I just have to look at you.
Tôi nhìn các bạn, tôi thấy đó là niềm vui
rồi. I look at people that I know, people that I'm invested in, and there's joy. There's sources of joy.
Và khi tôi nhìn thấy các bạn trẻ, những người mà tôi đầu tư vấn đề thuộc linh đó, các bạn đó là niềm vui của tôi.
My wife's here today.
Bà xã tôi ở đây.
There's joy there. I see her. It brings me joy. I have 5 children.
Tôi có 5 cháu.
They usually bring me joy.
Và chúng luôn luôn đem tôi.
Yeah. But they are a source of joy. It's so easy to, just as easy it is to get down on the struggle, all you have to do is look at the right, keep your eyes in the right direction. Again, this is individual. This is going to be different for everyone.
Đây là từng cá nhân một, cho nên sẽ không ai giống ai.
However, there are some common areas of joy that I think we as believers should all tap into.
Tuy nhiên, những niềm vui của chúng ta sẽ có những điều giống nhau.
An active prayer life. That brings me joy. And it will bring you joy. An active prayer life. So when you pray, when I read my Bible, I get joy. And it's so easy now. You all know what this is, right? You all probably have one. There are Bible, I have a version on here called YouVersion, and I can plug it into my car. And I can listen to the Bible while I drive. I'm like, wow, this is, as a pastor, I can read the Bible in my car. And so can you.
hiện tại bây giờ kỹ thuật rất là cao, cho nên quý vị có thể nghe lời Chúa được chứ không cần phải đọc trong xe của mình cũng vẫn có thể nghe được.
But that those are common sources of joy for all of us, right?
Đó là niềm vui chung của chúng ta là đọc lời của Chúa.
Prayer, scripture, meditating on God's word, those are all things that we as believers we can tap into.
Cho nên là những người tin Chúa rồi chúng ta sẽ thấy được niềm vui này trong sự cầu nguyện, sự đọc lời Chúa và đến với Chúa.
But some other things that bring me joy are going to be misery for you. Joy for me is getting on the bicycle and riding for 100 miles. That brings me joy. That would not bring joy to my wife. That would bring pain. And she would tell me, this is not fun. I don't like this anymore. Right? So you have to find things that bring you joy that can still glorify the Father. Another passion I have is I love to read. So maybe reading brings you joy. But find those things and take time to participate in those things. So for us as the English speaking church, what we do, the people that I see every Sunday morning normally, like we get together at Larry's house periodically, and like next month or this month now, we're going to go, we're going to meet. He lives by some bike trails and we're all going to go bicycling. It will bring us joy. We've done it before. It's fun. We enjoy our company. And they're very active. Like our guys are real, they're active. I don't know. Sure, that's it. All right, so we're going to keep going, all right? So you got this. The last point. Look. I'm going to close this. You know, you're in trouble when the pastor closes his notes and walks, steps away from those. This last point, I think, if you don't hear anything today, you really need to listen. Man, I hope this translates well into Vietnamese. This is really important. We are not called to fulfillment. We are called to the process. Process. The process, the running, like we're not called to finish the race right now. We're called to run that race. Many of you, if you're at all like me, we get caught up in being perfect. You can get away with that as an engineer, can't you? Math is perfect, right? 2 + 2 is always 4. And on and on. You can find perfection in math. You can find perfection in woodworking in your head. But once we start being a part of that, the imperfections show, don't they? My second oldest son and I have started a relationship in the wood shop.
So,
So when he needs a piece of furniture, we build it together. And as a woodworker, I find beauty in the imperfections of the wood. There are things about my wife that sometimes she sees as an imperfection. But I look at it and I go, but you're so beautiful. We see, like, what I'm trying to say is not to compliment my wife in front of you. She gets that anyway. What I want you to hear is we find beauty in our imperfections if we'll just look. Who do you listen to when you need advice? The person who acts as though they've lived a perfect life? Or the person you know who's been through the hard times and has struggled and has had pain, but they've come through it? When I'm having issues in my marriage, I don't go to a single person. I don't go to someone who's not married. I go to somebody who's been married a while and has admitted some faults and some struggles. Because see, he's been there, he's struggled through it, and now he's come on the other side. He can help me. The reason why I bring this up is we as a body, sometimes we, you know, I did it today, right? I have a press. My shirt is pressed. I took it to the dry cleaners so they would get it just the way I like it. And my daughter picked my tie out, and I have a nice suit on. My socks match, you know. Like, I went all out. I shaved, you know. I tried to look really nice today. And so did you. I see that. You guys, you look beautiful. Like, you really went all out to look nice when you came to church, right? But we're not perfect. See, I talk about my relationship, my family a lot, because it's important to me. My wife, when I wake up in the morning, she sees me at my absolute worst. Absolute worst. I'm grouchy. I have bad breath. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, man, good luck. We all have it, right? I haven't had any coffee yet. I'm not a happy camper. She comes in with a big smile on her face, and she hands me a cup of coffee. You see, she loves me through my imperfections. She loves me in spite of my imperfections. Surely we can do that for each other. Right? Like, we're not called to be perfect. We're not. Thank God, right? Because if perfection was the standard, we would all be going to hell. He did not save you to make you perfect right now. That it's just not going to happen. Our perfection is when we go to heaven, isn't it? Like, that's when we're going to be perfect. That's when I get that new body. Thank God for a new body. Because mine is old. And mine is, I have not been nice to my body.
hoàn hảo, nhưng mà Chúa cứu mình á, để khi mình được về với Chúa rồi mình có một cái thân thể mới, một cái cuộc sống mới với Chúa rất là hoàn hảo.
But I get a new one when I go to heaven.
Như tôi chẳng hạn, thân thể tôi nó già yếu rồi, khi về với Chúa tôi được thân thể mới là tôi rất là vui.
You got to get your head wrapped around it. Like, that's how I can finish. That's how I can endure. That's how I can finish, cross that finish line, because I know that at the end is perfection. It's perfect joy. Oh, go ahead. It's perfect relationship, right? We're all going to be in a perfect relationship when we get to heaven. We won't need translators. It's just going to be perfect. But right now it's not. And let's love each other anyway. Because if you look in the mirror and you forget the imperfections of your own, you know, we get self-righteous. But when we pray and we get the sight from our Father to see the need of Him in our lives, we get humble. Okay, so this morning, very briefly, I've been really convicted about this. I spoke with our congregation, our English-speaking congregation earlier about this. What I'm going to do, no offense, but what I'm going to do is just open up. This is called an altar. We call this an altar for a reason. Go ahead. Sorry. So at the altar, I want to give you an opportunity just to pour yourself out as a drink offering. That's what he said in Romans chapter 12. He said, pour yourself out as a drink offering. Offer yourself up. And so maybe you just need to come up here and pray. And that's all this is for. It's just to give you an opportunity as a group to come and pray. And if you don't come up here and pray, it's okay. My dad can't kneel anymore. He can't kneel. He can't get down on his knees. He's too old. So I understand that. But for those who would like to pray, join me. Great. If not, we'll just close it out real quick. I don't expect this to take more than 5 minutes. I just give you an opportunity to pray as a congregation. That's it. So I'm going to pray now. And then you can come on up. If you want to pray, come on up and start praying with me. And then we'll close it out. And if nobody comes up here, it's okay. It was just an opportunity. Okay, so while I pray right now, if you want to come up, come on up. This is the time. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, it's so hard sometimes to communicate. And I just want to thank you for giving me just even the opportunity to communicate your joy, your love, your word for us today. So Lord, as we gather together and we begin to pray, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that we have an altar to pray and lift up our burdens to you, Father. Amen. So we're just going to pray for a few minutes.